Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. For those of you who've listened to me for the last 30 years, you know that this show is not just a show about real estate investing. It's really a show about life. And many of you have grown up with me. I've been doing this show now for 30 years. I've been mentoring people for 35, 36 years, actually. And for those of you who have followed me for a long time, you realize that what's more important to me is not the money, but the lifestyle, which is my tagline. But it's really the truth. Ever since I started doing this, I told everybody around me that I really didn't want to work hard. I didn't want to work in the business. I didn't want to be a full-time teacher, mentor, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to help people. And so we've done that by getting the message out on the radio and by teaching people in classes, you know, how I accomplish what I accomplish, how other people I've helped accomplish it. And all that information is out there. And that's pretty much, you know, real estate information on how to retire using real estate as a passive stream of income. But today I'm going to talk about something different. I'm going to talk about the fact that, you know, I'm 70 years old and hindsight is 20/20. There is no doubt about that. So this is going to be a bit of a brutal conversation today. And you know that if you've been following me, I used to be a lot more brutal when I was young. I mellowed out as I got older. But still sometimes the ideas and concepts come to me are just really, really brutal. Today's one of them. So I apologize before we get started, but I think it will be interesting for you if you'll listen to this and follow along. So the story I want to tell today is this. I woke up a couple days ago and I walked outside. And for those of you who listen to me forever, you know that every morning I get up, it's my ritual, have my cup of coffee, open up the kennels, let my dogs out, and then we play. We roll and cuddle and pet and lick and, you know, sometimes it's on the couch, sometimes we get on the ground, whatever, but we just have this moment. It really brings me more joy than just about anything else in life to have these dogs just, you know, showing me how much they love me and how much I love them and the camaraderie and so forth. And then after we're done with the big cuddle and the roll around and the playing and so forth, then we do the walkabout, which is an opportunity for them to go to the bathroom for the first time since last evening. And it's an opportunity to walk our 2.5-acre lot, which is just incredible. I've told you about it. I've put pictures of it in Facebook. It's probably one of the neatest backyards you'll ever see in a residence. In other words, you might have a hotel that has a neater area, but no residents have really nicer than this that I've seen. And if it is, it's got to be like a mega million-dollar mansion to be better. It just so happened the guy that built this house was just a little bit of a freak. And he was rich at 34 years of age. His dad was multimillionaire. His wife that he just married's father was a multimillionaire. They're both rich, so they were kind of like spoiled kids. And when they built this house, they built it to be the best of the best of the best of the best. One of the things about the house is it's built in a neighborhood where the least expensive house in the subdivision is about $2.5 million, and they go up to, I think, as much as the most expensive one was $6 or $7 million, something like that. One of the interesting things about living in a subdivision like that is that you cannot break the homeowners association rules. Say, well, you know, don't rich people have the ability to get away with anything? No. When you live with a bunch of rich people in the neighborhood, then they have rich people rules. And one of the rich people rules that I'll share with you is that you can't have dead trees. Now, this whole subdivision was built in the middle of a giant pine forest. I mean, 100-foot pines all over. When I first bought this house, there were probably about 10 more 100-foot pines than what I have now because these trees die. I mean, they're been around for hundreds of years, most of them to be 100 feet high or whatever they are. It may even be higher than 100. I don't really know. But they're huge. And one of the problems with pine trees is pine trees get this thing called pine bark beetles, which kill them. And if you get pine bark beetles, you can't do anything about it. You can prevent them, but you can't do anything once you have them except cut the trees down and get the beetles out of there. So it is a rule that you cannot have dead pine trees in this neighborhood because inevitably, if you have a dead pine tree, it has pine bark beetles. Not to mention these 100-foot trees fall down. They're taking stuff out. They're taking out fences. They're taking out houses. They're taking out other trees and things and pets and the whole bit. So it's just a rule. You can't have dead trees. Well, for about a year ago, I noticed that I had two dead pine trees in my backyard. And so I paid a company to come in and take them out. And so they cut them down and they dig out the root and, the root ball, whatever it is, and, get rid of them. But what I also noticed was the lady behind me had like three or four dead trees. So I had spoke to the guy who was the owner of the subdivision. He wasn't the owner. Let me see what he was. He's the guy who built the subdivision. I'm sorry. So he now is like head of the homeowner association. He's the guy that built everybody's house and sold everybody their home here. And I said, hey, these pine bark beetles, if they don't get rid of those trees, they could spread to the rest of my pines and everybody else is in the neighborhood. And he goes, yeah, we'll give them notice. They've got to get rid of them. But I noticed that for about 6 months, they didn't go away. Now, you have to understand in a neighborhood like this, everybody in the neighborhood knows there's only 15, 18 houses total in the neighborhood. Everybody knows who everybody else is. But they're all rich people that own companies and have large families and businesses and stuff. And they don't associate with each other very much. I mean, we'll say hi, we're walking our dog. Hey, how you doing? That kind of stuff. But nobody really associates with each other. It's just not that kind of neighborhood where you barbecue on the back. You don't go out on your front patio in a $5 million home and barbecue and say hi to the neighbors, slapping some hamburgers around. It just isn't the scene. You have more like people driving around in their $200,000 sports cars, driving them up and down the street, just sort of like letting the kids drive them, have fun. Hey, how you doing? Waving to your neighbors kind of thing. That's more like what happens in this kind of neighborhood. But there's really nobody out there really just, having a beer and slapping some burgers around. So you don't really know everybody, and you don't really know what's going on in everybody's life. You hear about it. There's the women talk and so on and so forth. Well, I walk out back 2 or 3 days ago. I think it was 2 days ago. And I look up and I see that these trees are gone. These dead trees are gone. And I'm thinking, wow, this lady finally went ahead and got rid of them. So I was so excited about it, I asked my wife about it. My wife said, oh, yeah, let me tell you what happened. This lady had been sick with cancer for 6 months. And it was a pretty aggressive cancer. She had it. They knew she had it. And then in no time at all, she was dying. And what happened was the lady died. Now, when somebody dies and leaves a multi-million dollar home, somebody, your estate's going to come in and get it. I think she had a couple kids, an ex-husband, whatever it was, whoever was going to get this thing. Somebody took over the estate, took over the home. And what's interesting is that although the association never pressured this dying lady to get rid of the trees, almost instantly after she died, they pressured the estate to get rid of the trees. Now, why do I bring this up? Yeah, these are rich people problems. I get that. That's not why I'm bringing them up. I thought, boy, that really, really sums it up. There you are as a human being. Your entire life comes down to somebody wanting you to get rid of your dead trees. What does that really mean? What have you really contributed? What are you really leaving behind? Now, in this case, the lady had an expensive home. She's leaving it to her family. But really, it started me thinking, here we are at an older age, I am. I remember thinking when I was younger, I wasn't going to live past 64, 65, because my dad died at 65. So I lived my entire life as if I was going to be dead by 65. Now I'm 70. So you got 5 extra years. And by the way, I feel better than I felt when I was 50. I'm in better shape. I'm healthier than I was when I was 50. So it's an interesting little weird twist that now at 70, I feel better than I did at 50. But what I want you to understand is that I lived my entire life as if I wasn't going to have a long life. What that did was that made me attack everything in life. And it leaves me with all types of signs of success along the way. Things that I remember that my life was wonderful. It was great because of. And I'm just wondering, are you living that life of quiet desperation I talk about all the time, where you get up and go to work, 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 come home, suffer, 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 blah, blah, blah. Nothing exciting, not accomplishing any personal goals whatsoever, not doing anything to grow yourself as a human being, not really getting anywhere, just kind of existing. And is the world waiting for you just to exist out of existence and be gone? You know, I mean, it's really a morbid thought. I understand that, but I can't help but look at it. Now, right now, I feel like I'll live another 10 years at least, maybe more the way I feel, because I don't feel any weaker or older than I did when I was 50 and I felt terrible, right? I feel much better then than I did when I was 50, and I'll get into that later. But the bottom line is that as you go through life, you get up today, you're listening to this radio show, and you go, what am I doing? What am I doing? What have I accomplished and what am I accomplishing right now? Are people waiting for me just to get out of the way? Somebody want my job? Just get out of the way. Give me your job. You're terrible at it. You're old. Get out of here. And young guys want everybody's job, right? Does somebody want my spot on the gym, on the machine? I have people like, when are you going to get off the machine? I just tell people every time when they go, you know, when are you getting off the machine? I go, I'm going to be here for about 25 sets. And they look at me like cross-eyed. And since I'm, you know, a big guy, I'm a bodybuilder, right? I'm 225 pounds. And these guys look at me like, oh, my God, I can't tell this guy to get off the machine. I say, then look, you want to work in with me? I'll let you work in with me. Oh, no, I don't want to work in with you. Okay, wait. Now, really, I only have like 3 or 4 sets. But I tell them 20 just to see what they do, just to mess with their head, because they want my spot. And I don't really care. Don't get me wrong. It's just that the world wants your stuff. They want your spot. They want your business. They want your money. Some guys wanted your wife before she was your wife. Maybe they want her even after she's your wife, right? Your daughters, they want to marry your daughters. They want to mess with you. Everybody wants something from you, right? And so that's okay. That's what we're here. We're put on this earth to give, but we're also put on this earth to live. So we're giving and living. My question to you is, how much giving and how much living are you doing, or are you just existing? That's really what I want to get across to you. So what I thought today was, I thought, let's talk about what have you accomplished? What's important to you? And I started thinking back to myself. I said, well, I don't really know how to, on the radio, get people to tell me what is important to them. So let me just talk about what was important to me. When I was in fourth grade, I was a 200-pound fat kid. I decided to lose weight and get in shape. I got in shape, lost all the fat, built up muscle. And then all of a sudden, I was the strongest kid in Wisconsin. And I was the Wisconsin High School State Powerlifting Champion. Did that when I was a kid in high school. Right after I got out of high school, I changed to Olympic lifting and joined the Olympic lifting team and went to the Junior Olympics. I won the Junior Olympic contest, and I set some records in clean and jerk and snatch, which is the exercise where you pull the weight off the floor and throw it up over your head in one movement. I did that while I was entering college. By the time I got out of college, I decided that powerlifting and Olympic lifting wasn't that exciting, so I started bodybuilding. And I had won a Teenage Mr. Texas award. You had to be under 20 years of age. I think I was probably 19 and a half, whatever. I have pictures of it. And I was like 208 pounds, and I was really kind of skinny to win a contest, but I was ripped to shreds, so I looked good. So I've got like trophies for powerlifting, trophies for Olympic lifting, trophies for bodybuilding. And then I went on. When I was 25 years of age, I packed on another 25 pounds of muscle, and I won Mr. Texas. And I was much larger, looked way more impressive. And I got all the pictures from that. So, you know, hey, been there, done that, got the pictures and the T-shirt type thing. And so I had fulfilled my dream of being an athlete, of being a competitive athlete, of being an incredibly well-built athlete early on in life. And then I started the grind. I worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week for 12 years. And during that time, I was working at the health clubs. I was still bodybuilding, doing it, you know, just because I loved to do it. And by the time I was 28, 29 years of age, on Black Monday, 1987, the stock market crashed. And I had been working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, under the assumption that I work all day, every day, I do nothing, I spend no money, I make a lot of money because I'm working a lot of hours. Let's save all that money and retire early. And then, boom, the stock market crashed. And that was pretty devastating. So at that point, I started looking for ways to go out there and not work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I looked for businesses. I looked at franchises. You know, I did everyone. You know, you look at the Subway sandwich shop and you look at, I looked at network marketing and multi-level marketing. And I looked at day trading. I think I did some day trading for a while. We all go through this stuff. And you're looking for a way because you go, I just can't work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And for some of you, the difference is you don't work 12 hours a day, but you drive an hour to work, you work 8 hours, you drive an hour home, so you really got 10 hours a day, whether you realize it or not. You have to prepare to go to work. You have to have special clothes to wear to go to work. You have to, your clothes have to be clean. You know, all this stuff, it just keeps you busy, busy, busy. And even when you're at home, you're probably still answering emails, probably still under pressure and stress. So when we come back, let's talk about, what have you done for you in the last 20 or 30 years? We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Real estate investing isn't just about numbers. It can change your life. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we teach you how to invest in real estate with purpose, real-world strategy, and a focus on income you can build over time. Many of our members start to see how the right investment can create income, stability, and even improve communities. Join today for just $297, a 60% savings off the regular price. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing, what have you done in your life? What do you have to look back to in your life? What do you have to look forward to in your life? Are you living your life, or are you just existing, and are you just waiting for your time to run out? You know, a lot of people just live in that life thinking, you know, one of these days it's going to be over with and I can be done with this stuff, right? It's such a sad thought, instead of having the exciting, you know, thought that, boom, you know, I can get out there and do something. So I'm going to talk about our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s now. Let's talk about what you could be looking forward to. In my 30s, I retired. 2.5 years after I started investing in single-family rent houses, I retired at 34 years of age. That was a big deal. Now, you talk about something that you could do. You're in your 20s. Get started now. You're in your early 30s. You get started now. Before you're 35, 36 years of age, you could be retired. That's a big thing to look forward to. That's an important step, because now you've bought your life back from corporate America. And by the way, I just thought of this. If you want to do this, we have a four-part class starting. Our classes are normally 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. I'm teaching one May 1st or 2nd and 3rd or something like that. But we have a four-part one that's going on right now. Starts tonight. It's like 3 hours, let's see, be 4 hours times four nights, 16 hours, yeah. So you can get started tonight. And if you want to get involved with that, just contact us at our website or text the word radio to 88007. Get yourself involved. It's easy to take. It's four nights at nighttime where you don't have to worry about work. You don't have to take off a weekend. It's for some people, it's the correct way to take the class because it fits their schedule. I prefer coming to my show, which is, you know, I'll have a educational class that comes up here 2 days coming up at the beginning of May. I prefer live ones myself so I can work with you personally, right, and get you where you need to be. But the thing I want to bring up here is that, okay, in my teens, in my 20s, I was all about fitness and all about exercise and trophies and this and that. But in my 30s, I was ready to retire. And so I actually got up to, in my 30s, like 107 houses. And I remember going on vacation with this guy that was a member of my group, Lifestyles Unlimited. He was a friend of mine. He'd been a member for a while. And he had 85 houses. I had 107. He had 85. It was kind of like we had this contest going on. It was something fun to do, you know, we, you know, play with each other. But I remember reading this book. And I don't even remember what the book is. I wish I did. But it was a book that said that basically if you don't make $40,000 a month, you're nothing. Literally, that's what the book said. I mean, hey, no matter what you think, you make 10 grand a month, you make 20 grand a month, you're nothing. Until you make at least 40 grand a month, you really can't live the way decent people live. I remember reading this because at the time I think I was making 20 or 30,000 bucks a month. And I go, what do you mean? And so this friend of mine had 85 houses. He owned a condo in Puerto Vallarta. And it was really cool. He owned this thing. The condo was up on top of the cliff. And down the side of the cliff was like waterfalls. And one waterfall would fall into the next puddle of water. And then that one would fall off down in the next one. It was like down, 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 all the way down to the beach. It was a beautiful thing. And I remember sitting there under the palapa with him, and we were discussing this book, and I was reading, you know, excerpts out of it to him and saying, you know, Bruce, we suck. I mean, come on, man. We make 20 grand a month. What is 20 grand a month? I mean, that's nothing. This guy's saying if you don't make 40, you have nothing. And I think it was somewhere between 20, 25. I don't know. Really, I can't remember exactly what it was. But at that moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to make $40,000 a month. Just why not? Just figure it out. So at the time I was buying single family houses, I started buying small apartment complexes. I said, I have to change. I need bigger. I need more zeros at the end of each deal that I'm doing so that I get there faster. And that's what this guy explained, is that whatever it is you're doing, you can do it 10 times faster. You don't have to do it at the slow, methodical pace you think you have to go. So I believed him. And I just started buying larger properties. And I ended up with a 64-unit apartment complex, a 68-unit apartment complex, and an 88-unit apartment complex. Each one of these were only a block apart, believe it or not. And each one of them made me $15,000 a month. That was my net cash flow. So now I was making $45,000 a month. Now, to get there, I sold off my houses to get the money to be able to buy these apartments. And, you know, I built up quite a bit of equity in 107 houses. And so I sold them off and took the money and started buying these apartment complexes. And the story, each and every one of these apartment complex stories was unbelievable. Each one of these properties I purchased and turned them around, I made over $1 million in 1 year each. It was just, boom, I did one, go, wow. I made $1 million doing this. There's one across the street. Why don't I buy that one? Because that guy doesn't know what I'm doing and how I made my $1 million. I'll buy his and do it to his. And I did, and I made another $1 million. And then the one right down the street, and I said, boom, I want to buy this one. I bought it, did it again, made another $1 million. So all of a sudden, I'm going from being a millionaire to a multimillionaire. And I had somewhere between $10 and $20 million of net worth at that time. Don't know exactly how much because I never really kept track. Like, that was really the goal. The goal was not the money. It was the lifestyle I was living. And it was a wonderful lifestyle. And I remember having these three properties for 15 years and not letting go of them. Did a lot of other things while I had them. But I never got rid of these three because they were my base income for life. 45 grand a month, every month. Just take it to the bank. Man, I love that. I didn't get rid of them until much later. When I got married, my wife said she didn't like them because they were old in a part of town that she didn't like with clientele she didn't want to deal with, and she wanted to go to Class A apartments. Boy, I wish I never got rid of them, to be honest with you. I mean, they were just a gold mine at times. So what happens is here I am now at like 40 years of age, and I'm making $45,000 a month. My life is incredible. It's just incredible. And I want you to think about, where were you when you were 40 years of age? Was your life incredible? Were you living on $45,000 a month? Did you have goals? Did you accomplish anything? Did you have physical fitness goals? Did you have financial goals? Did you have health and fitness? Did you have marriage goals? Did you have kid goals? What were your goals? What did you ever do? I'm not trying to talk about me. I'm only talking about me because I know about me. I would like to know what you did. In fact, you can email. Email me at askdell@luinc.com. Tell me your story. Do you have a great story? Or do you have a weak story? Are you living a life of quiet desperation? You don't have anything going on. You got nothing to claim. Tell me your story. I'll share whatever I can without using your name and everything. But it just, to me, I see so many people. I've been mentoring for 36 years, thousands of people who quite honestly have nothing going on. They have nothing they can brag about. And look, I'm not telling you to go out there and brag. What I'm saying is there should be something that you internally can brag about. What can you be happy about? Because someday they're going to cut your dead tree down in your backyard, like I said in the first segment. Someday people are going to push you out of the way. They're going to take over your home. You're going to be dead, and everything you own is going to go to dust. What have you done between then and now? That's the question. What does life look like 5 years from now for you? What exciting things do you have to look forward to, right? So this was a major crossover point for me. And then what happened was, now that I own these apartment complexes, I thought, you know, I better learn everything I can about how to operate apartments because they're different than houses. So I went to the Houston Apartment Association to take classes on operating apartment complexes. And when I was there, they asked me to leave. And you said, why was that? Because the Apartment Association was teaching people how to be employees, how to work for apartment complexes. I was sitting there owning apartment complexes. So I was talking to these people. I go, man, you guys really know a lot of stuff. Why don't you own one of these? And the apartment association, you can't be talking to these people about that stuff. These people are sent here by their employers to learn how to do their job better. You can't talk to them about owning. I said, okay, I get it. I'm messing stuff up, so I'll leave. Well, they called me back a couple days later and said, why don't you just teach our IROs, our independent owners, how to do what you do, how to own property. I said, okay, I'll do that for you. Now, after I had gone ahead and got involved with the Apartment Association, I decided I was going to take on a property to prove what I was teaching would work. And I bought a 140-unit apartment complex, and I paid $700,000 down and then the loan on it. I don't remember exactly what it cost. And a year later, I sold it for $1.7 million gain. So I invested $700,000. I made $1.7 million. So it's an amazing story. We got in there. We totally renovated the place. We raised the rents radically. And interesting enough, this property was right around the corner from the other three that I've already told you about. So now I have five. Well, actually, it was two apartments. It was 104 and it was a 106 and a 34. So it was 140 units, but it was two more properties. So now within two blocks of each other, I own five apartment complexes. And I'm making, you know, another $50,000 a month now. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I was making 45. Now I'm making 50 more. This is incredible how much money I'm making. And all of a sudden, I won the National Apartment Association Real Estate Investor of the Year Award in 2007. I was the most profitable, most successful, most improved property in the country for independent owners, not for big corporations, but for just people like you and me, independent owners. Man, I got a lot out of that. I got a lot out of it as far as emotional satisfaction. I got a lot out of it as far as people, notoriety, knowing who I was all over the country for winning this award, et cetera, et cetera. But it was really interesting. And that was kind of a high point for me, because now I have these 500 units that I have available to me, and I'm making this ungodly amount of money, you know, probably, I would say, realistically, $90,000 a month. And you go, what do you do with $90,000 a month? I tell you, you save it, because you don't really need it. You've been living on $10,000 a month, or like I did when I was in corporate America, I lived on like $3,500 a month. But then I raised my standard of living up to $10,000 a month. But man, when you're making 90 grand a month, you don't need it. So I'm saying to you, why aren't you doing something like this yourself? Where is your excitement? I have a friend who decided to get back into playing guitar. Now he's in a band at 60 years old. He's in a band traveling. He goes, you know, I'm an attorney. I make a living. I have money. I'm successful. Can I do what I want to do? I'm just going to go get in a band. And he did. Right? So we look at this thing, and I won this award in 2007. I met my wife after that, or actually before that, and she was an operations supervisor. She ran all my properties in all these different areas that I own this stuff. And then all of a sudden, 2008, 2009 came along, and the market crashed. And it was one of these things where I decided when the market crashed that I was one of the only guys who could actually buy real estate at the time, because everybody else had lost money in the real estate they're already in. I had not lost any money, and I had access both to my money and all the Lifestyles members' money who wanted to get into a deal but didn't want to do the work. So they wanted me to syndicate, and they would just hop on with me. So I went out and bought 5 apartment complexes at about 50 cents on the dollar. As a total, I bought some at 80 cents on the dollar. I bought some at 70, some at 60, some at 50. I bought some at 20 cents on the dollar. The average was all about 50 cents on the dollar between 2008, 2009, and 2010. By the time I turned these properties around, this portfolio, I had quadrupled my net worth. And now I was sitting there literally about 50 years of age, with more money than I could spend the rest of my life if I lived to 80 or 90 years old. I realized I could spend $1 million a year and never even touch the money I had. That's the kind of money that this portfolio made me. It just, boom, it was incredible. 4X my net worth out of nowhere, right? And then it happened. Then it happened. What happened? I got staph, almost died. Recovered from staph, got cancer, almost died. Recovered from cancer, got polyps in my intestines. They had to cut me open, take my intestine out, put me on a colostomy sack for 3 to 6 months, whatever it was, 3-4 months, I was with a colostomy sack. My intestine healed. They had to go back in. Surgery again. Connect my intestine back up. Take out the colostomy sack. And make me a human being again. I went through, between those three different things, hell. And I'd always lived my life as if I was going to die by age 65. But I got through all of those things, I think, by about age 57, 60, something like that. I don't even remember. The mind blocks out that kind of negative pain. It really did. It blocked it all out. And now I've come out of it. I'm cancer-free, or you're never, ever cancer-free, but my cancer's under control. The staph is healed. Guys, as we go out the back end of this show, I want you to ask yourself, what do you have to live for? What are you doing to change your life? Sign up now. Come to the 4-night thing, or come to my weekend thing, and start changing your life, because it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. And if you've got nothing to share, you've got no life. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.